Okay, I've got all my little toys here, all my props. So when Viv asked, what do you remember from last week? I guess what I'm picking up on is what Caroline said from camp. Jesus being your vision. It's one of the talks that we went to. And in the past, I've sometimes been asked what's my or our vision. And I just say, Jesus. I've said it. I think what they mean is, what's your business plan? Because that's what people kind of think. What is your? Where are you going to be in 5 years? It's that sort of business talk. But really, what's your vision? Should be Jesus. And you know, in all that we do, there's a bit in the Bible. It says, "Without vision, the people perish." People often kind of misquote it, but actually, if we could change it. Vision, without Jesus, the people perish. Think about it. Makes sense. So I've bought a whole load of things here that I find potentially helpful. Yeah? So we're going to work through these things that I bought in with me and some that I haven't bought. So let's see how it all works. I've got it all out. So I've got with me possibly these. Yeah? Yeah, do they look good? Sunglasses. Or I can interchange them with these. I don't think they fit really, but yeah. Now, why have I bought these? All these things are going to be sort of lenses or glasses or whatever you want to call them, and I'm going to call them my Jesus glasses or my Jesus lenses. Yeah, so the first one I've got here is, let's call them the safety goggles. And what do we wear them for? Pardon? No, not safety goggles. Safety. Protect your eyes. Yeah. And what are these for? Protect your eyes. That's why you should wear them, to protect your eyes, see? And in Jesus said, if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Now, let's not get muddled up with light and healthy and sunglasses and that. I'm just trying to think of protecting your eyes, yeah, not the light part. So if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, so let's say you've been wearing these and you've been doing a bit of angle grinding and you've got all sparks in your eyes, and your eyesight goes, you can't see, and you wish you'd wore these, didn't you? So if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So if our eyes are messed up, we are full of darkness. And why Jesus was saying that? Because Jesus calls the Pharisees, who were the teachers at the time, who were giving the understanding to the people, do you know what he calls them? Blind guides. It's a bit harsh, isn't it? He calls the religious teachers and the lawmakers of the time blind guides. Can you imagine saying that about people now? They're blind guides. They're walking around giving people darkness, basically. Because that's the whole point he's making. So the teachers of the law were distorting the scriptures, and Jesus could see how damaging it was by the lawmakers. They thought they were bringing teaching, but they were actually distorting what the law of Moses had said. So they were being corrupted, and he could see that it led just to rules, burdens, and they were lost. So we need to protect our eyes. We need to protect the and think about where our light is coming from. Now, where might we get? We have religious teaching, but in our society, our way of thinking perhaps comes from elsewhere. It comes from different sources, doesn't it? Our guidelines. Where does our guidance come from? Yeah, in all of the people out here and around, where's their guidance coming from? Possibly government rules. Where else? Social media, TikTok for youngsters. They're living on TikTok. That's where they get all their influence from, TikTok. Where else? What are the other sort of platforms that people might be getting their full influence from? TV, music. So those are, they're our blind guides in our society. People are being led by blind guides in society. So we have to guard what we are letting in. We can, if you know that it's wrong, you've got to guard against it. But if you kind of, I see the youngsters nowadays, and they just absorb everything, because they haven't got a filter. They haven't got goggles on, that Jesus goggles, so they just absorb everything. How do they work out what's right and wrong, what's good and bad? They haven't got these on. They haven't got the Jesus filter that can stop the sparks flying in your eyes. They just are like this. And it's just all going in and damaging them and corrupting them. So, or they just let in everything. And in the end, they're just blind as well. So, those are two things. So, yeah. Now, I went to the opticians a few years back for reading glasses, which, to be honest, they hardly come out the case. But if I look at you, they're a bit you're all blurry. If I look at the notes, wow, I can actually read what I've written. So perhaps I should keep them on. I went for reading glasses, and while I was there, they gave me another pair for short distance, long distance. Yeah, and again, what are these for? They're for clarity, aren't they? To help our vision. Just the clarity of what we see. So I'm going to put those back in. I'm on the sort of border of both. So I can... I tend to use my longer vision ones more than my reading ones, because I don't read much. but the longer ones, do you know, I wear them most when I'm cycling, to look out for the imperfections in the road. So... nothing worse than on your bicycle hitting a pothole and having a puncture, that kind of thing. So they're for clarity of clear vision. And what does this tell us in the Bible? I got a few scriptures down. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. So the teachers of the law were trying to say, it's about the food you eat. It's about how you do things. Those kind of external things is what makes you holy. And so in Romans we see, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's like, let's have a bit of clarity. When sometimes we get caught up in, you know, what, well, I think the world does. They're trying to eat a longer life. There's nothing wrong in it. But, you know, drinking your green tea to go to bed to make you live longer, it's all right. It's all right. But it doesn't make you live for... it doesn't give you eternal life, does it? If you have your green tea just before you go to bed. It's good, but it doesn't give eternal life. You know, having your herbal tea doesn't give you eternal life. It might give you a couple of extra days of life. It might not. But people are and then there's the religious ones who won't eat this and won't eat that. Jesus says, he's made it. It's not going to give you eternal life. It's not a matter of what you eat and what you drink. You know, I'm a vegan and I'm spiritual. it doesn't make you live longer eternally. Jesus' teaching was to give better meaning and understanding to the scriptures. He wanted to make it clear and internalize it. So what the Jews were doing is they were washing their hands, they weren't doing this. They were all very rulesy. Being very rulesy makes you feel good if you can keep the rules, because you think it's holiness. But actually, it's about righteousness. It's about being inside. And I heard that in the talks at camp. Jesus came to internalize it, to make it your heart, not like a religious set of rules that you followed. And when it's a religious set of rules, we can say, oh, look at them, they're drinking wine. That's wrong, isn't it? Or look at them, they're eating that. And it's like, it's a lot of rules that you're trying to, and you think the rules are making you holy. It's an internal thing. That's why it says it's about righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So he came to internalize it, to make it part of your being. In social services, I'm going to try and roll out a little bit of sort of teaching with my little group, and it's to help us parent children that have been through trauma. Perhaps I've mentioned it, and the point of it is it's not trying to be rulesy. It's trying to make it internalize it so it becomes more natural. You sometimes do it naturally anyway, but it's to recognize what you're doing, if that makes sense, and to try and make it a good habit of doing it. And that's what Jesus wanted, not just a set of rules, I must do this, I must do that, I mustn't do that, and I must do that. It had to come from the heart, that you wanted to help people, you wanted to do the right thing, and that's what he wanted to bring. And Jesus said to the crowds that were around him, you have heard it said. Now, he wasn't using that as a quote of the Bible. He was saying, you have heard it said. In other words, you have heard the religious teacher say. So when he says if he says it is written, it is written. That's the scripture's dead quote. If he says you have heard it say, he's quoting what the Pharisees and the lawmakers were saying to the people. And they would take the scriptures and add a bit in and take a bit away, and they would hand it out as if they were giving a teaching. And Jesus would use that to try and show that the teachers of the law hadn't got it right. Because he'd say, you have heard it said, but I tell you this. You see, he was contradicting the law givers. And he was trying to bring clarity to the people. Oh, you've heard it said, you know, an eye for an eye. That is a quote. What one of them was, you've heard it said, I think this is the kind of thing he would have said, it's good to forgive. If you can forgive someone three times, you are perfect. You'll get to heaven. What does Jesus say? He says, well, it depends on what version, 7 times 7 or 70 times 7, you forgive. You see, what he was basically saying, he wasn't really giving a number, so you can go, oh, I've forgiven 23 times, oh, I'm pretty good, I've done 24. It was like, forgive, just forgive. Not like, oh, I've forgiven twice, one more and that's it. One more, I'm going to forgive one more and I'm done. See, that's the way that the Pharisees were teaching. Gosh, I've forgiven three times, I'm about perfect. I've forgiven that my family, they've been bad to me. I've forgiven them three times. That's it, I'm perfect. Going to heaven, and I'm not forgiving them again. Do you see how it... And Jesus brings into it teaching that he wants it to become part of your being. So that's how he said, the Pharisees, they're teaching it wrong, but I want to bring light to you. Yeah, so I've done that. I'm trying to get through these. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like. He kept on saying, the kingdom, that's how he taught, the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of God. And the Jews were expecting a kingdom of the sword. Because in a way, that's what you would expect, wouldn't you? You seek a kingdom, and you think God's going to come, and we are under the Roman Empire, we want a Jewish empire. We're going to fight the Romans. We need a ruler that's going to fight them. That's what they were expecting. And Jesus comes along, and he lived a different life. He was a different kind of leader. What kind of... And what does he say? He goes, unless you become like a little child. That's not what they wanted. They want to be in charge. I don't want to be like a child. I want to be bossing them around. They'd look at the Roman generals. They'd have to doff their hats and don't say anything. That's what they wanted. And he says, unless you become like a child. Wow. And especially in that time, the children were probably like the lowest. Unless you become like one of these little ones. And then, what did Jesus do? He washed their feet. He washed their feet. He says, unless you can serve. They didn't see the generals doing that. They didn't see the Lord so-and-so washing people's feet. And Jesus comes along and says, you know, my kingdom's a very different kingdom. He was contrasting himself and his kingdom with power-hungry, lording it over leaders and the countries around them. He was bringing clarity into what his kingdom was. What about these ones, guys? Now you get it right. Yeah? Swimming goggles. Swimming goggles. Why do I wear these? But what do they give me any benefit? Stop water getting in your eyes, or you can see underwater. So I could have bought a sort of swimming mask. You see, if I go swimming with these in the sea, say I went into the Red Sea and swam with these, there'd be another world, wouldn't there? It would open up a complete different world if I went in the Red Sea. Someone was telling me that they'd been swimming there, and it's just like fantastic fish. They just see everything. It just comes alive. Whereas on the top, you can't see any of it. And then you put these on, and you'd see another world. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. My servants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. So again, we can see that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. But actually, if with the goggles on, the Jesus goggles, we have an understanding that his kingdom is actually of another world. It's not of this world. He opens our eyes to, but there's a spiritual dimension. Might not see it, but we are aware of it, aren't we, through what he's taught us. And so we can keep that. We can keep that in our heads, can't we? That we see this other world. And we should be aware of that. We should be aware that there is, and it's of another world. It's not just here and now, but it's here and now and bigger. So we've got the swimming goggles. How are we doing? We're doing all right, actually. Working my way through them. I've got these binoculars. Perhaps. I don't know. Do you ever use these? Hello, Caroline. Right in front of me. The other day I was in the garden and I saw this kind of little thing down on the post, and I'm thinking, it could be a pigeon, but I don't think it is. And when I got these out, I could see it was a buzzard sitting on the post. Probably, you know, about 50 metres away. But yeah, that's right. Got you all, guys. We can bring things in the distance closer, can't it? And I kind of use this to think about the kingdom give us an understanding that it's now and down way ahead, isn't it? And again, keep that in mind. And I've got I could pick lots of scriptures out, but and this gospel, so we're looking ahead, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Yeah? So we've got to, this gospel, this is part of what we're part of, will be preached into all the world, and then the end will come. What does that mean? I could get a list of verses on the end will come. And in my Father's house are many mansions or rooms. So there's a long-term view as well, isn't there? There's a view of the here and now, but eternity. And we might not see the return of Jesus, but we might. But it's part of what we are. We should keep that in our heads too. That Jesus, it's not just the here and now. It is, but there's more, isn't there? So a long-term view. That one day he's going to return. Jesus. So I'm really it's having the Jesus lens for clarity of living our life. I haven't got with me, I mean there's lots more verses I could have done about the long term view, but I'm just gonna, I thought about a microscope or a magnifying glass, and what I thought with that one, we look through you could say they put him under the microscope. What does that, would that mean? You're kind of analysing all aspects of them, isn't it? Possibly. I'm not going to go down into a micro world. What I thought is, if we look at the life of Jesus, we put him under the microscope, who compares to Jesus in this world? Nobody. No other prophet, no other teacher, nobody else is as good as Jesus. Nobody. No religious leader, no king, no philosopher, nobody is like Jesus, is it? Can you think of anyone? A philosopher, an ideology, they don't add up. We can put Jesus under the microscope, we can analyse his life, we can look closely at what he did. There's no one like him. You won't find a flaw in him. And then when we look, and it's a whole message, or a thousand messages really. We look at his life. He was tempted like us, didn't fail. He obeyed his heavenly Father. He was falsely accused, beaten. He didn't stand up for himself. He had to do it. He let it be done. He was beaten and executed. He was raised to life. He is our hope and vision. So we need to have Jesus as our vision. And if he goes out of our vision, we go astray. If he's not there in front of us, we go astray. If we don't think about his kingdom and seek his kingdom first, other things take priority. Seek God's kingdom first. And these other things that we all chase after will be added to you. But we chase after all these things, we put God second. So put God first, put his kingdom first, put Jesus first. And then these things will be added to you. He'll look after the rest for you. So without vision, the people perish. Without Jesus, the people perish, don't they? We need to keep him and all those things in our minds to keep focused so that it all happens for us.